Barbarian tribes of Rome, the Sarmatians, their economy and society. Now, economically, the Sarmatians weren't too different from the Scythians. As a semi-nomadic group of tribes, these people would depend upon agriculture and animal husbandry to not only sustain themselves, but also trade with other civilizations. Hunting played a large part in their economy since the furs and pelts they gathered would garner high prices in the Mediterranean and the Pontic areas. Some of their material wealth and precious artifacts would come from raiding and warfare, as their high mobility would give them the capability of gathering quick pillaging parties to gain loot from neighboring settlements. This form of warfare was the result of their mastery of the horse riding and their reliance on the horse for their martial activities, which made them have a cavalry that was much larger than any other civilizations at this time. Another point to consider in terms of their economic structure, and something that can't be disregarded, was their work as mercenaries on the payroll of wealthy empires or kingdoms, such as the Bosporan Kingdom and the Roman Empire. Not only would they be paid handsomely for their services, but their loyalty and good behavior would be rewarded with precious gifts made of gold and other valuable materials. The Upper Arosi, and later the Alans, had access to other types of riches, such as important trade routes that came to the Black Sea from Mesopotamia and India, and gave them a type of material wealth that the other Sarmatian tribes couldn't manage to achieve. Strabo describes this well in this passage, but the Upper Asori sent a still larger number, for they held dominion over more land, and one may almost say ruled over most of the Caspian coast, and consequently, they could import on camels the Indian and Babylonian merchandise, receiving it in their turn from the Armenians and the Medes, and also, owing to their wealth, could wear golden ornaments, end of quote. The Sarmatians had no official coinage or complex financial system. Instead, they would trade either by bartering or using coins other civilizations, such as Roman Greek coins. In the Black Sea region, cities from the other kingdoms, like the Greek Oblia and Bosporian Cheresus, would be responsible for coin mintage, and while their types of towns would be conquered by the Sarmatians or the Scythians, they would use it to strike their own coins, which imitated Greek ones. The Sarmatians were a tribal society and shared many features with other similar contemporary civilizations, primarily the Scythians. The Sarmatians were divided among many tribes that together had a familiar culture and language, but each tribe was independent and had a king or a chief figure. On certain occasions, these leaders would unite to rule over great confederations of people, as was the case with the Alans, Roxolani, Argeus, Arosi, and Saracius. All of these tribes were confederations and were formed either by the subjugation of many smaller tribes or by tribal initiation, meaning that the tribes would come together on their own volition and then elect a king from a tribe that everyone respected. We are not entirely sure why they created confederations due to a tribal initiative. Presumably, it was to become stronger as a cultural group or to seek the opportunities a tribe could have in such confederations, such as ease of access to better loot. It is thought that all the Sarmatian confederations mentioned above were created by free tribal aggregation, but they all, at some point or another, integrated smaller tribes by force. This was not the only thing that the Sarmatians shared in common with the Scythians. They also wore similar clothing. Both men and women would wear short cloaks, caftans, a traditional type of shirt that opened in the front, loose trousers, and headdresses with one or two discs over the forehead. They wore high boots, leather stockings, shoes with a pointy front, or high felt boots. Women could also be seen wearing a sleeveless dress fastened at each shoulder with a fibula. To this day, caftans are still worn in the region of the Sarmatian influence. The difference between aristocratic and commoner's clothing was the material from which the wares were made. Sarmatian aristocrats wore clothing made from silk and linen that was decorated with gold ornaments. All of these were imported materials from Mediterranean civilizations. Sarmatians would primarily trade natural goods for manufactured ones from their Mediterranean trading partners, from Greek clothing and helmets to jewelry. The Sarmatians would seek these goods, and in exchange, they would sell or barter pelts, furs, domestic animal products, and agricultural goods. As stated above, the disparity of the wealth between the regular people and the aristocracy wasn't as accentuated as in the Scythian society, or at least when it comes to burial mounds. And so historians assume that very few individuals would obtain more wealth than the others, and that wasn't so much as to leave a large wealth gap. However, this is true only for the few centuries of their presence in the Black Sea area, because as they became successful by the 4th to the 1st century BCE, wealth came pouring in, and only those with the most power would gain the most significant share. This wealth disparity would increase over time as each figurehead would break tribal communal traditions and accumulate wealth for themselves. Sarmatian societal roles placed women in a place of great influence, similar to that of the Scythians. Not only did the women participate in some form of priesthood and hold religious importance, but they would also fight alongside men on the battlefield. A large number of burial mounds with graves of women warriors have been found, attesting to the equal role of women and men in warfare. Some burial mounds have been found where women were buried in a central position and accompanied by many riches, so we know that Sarmatian women could hold positions of societal importance and had the power to accumulate vast sums of wealth. The Greek tales of the mythical Amazonian warriors originated from the Sarmatian tribe, since according to some classical authors, as Hippocrates and Pompeius Mela, Sarmatian women could only marry after they'd faced an enemy on the battlefield. The account of the classical writer Pomponius Mela goes further, quote, "They are warlike, free, unconquered, and so savage and cruel that women also go to war side by side with men. Archery, horseback riding, and hunting are a girl's pursuit. To kill an enemy is a woman's military duty, so much so that not to have struck one down is considered a scandal." End of quote. Slavery was a part of Sarmatian society, but evidence points to the fact that the Sarmatians only used slaves domestically or as objects of trade. However, they would maintain certain conquered peoples as serfs who did most of the agricultural work for them. Evidence points to people like the Limigantes, who lived in the intersection of modern-day Romania, Hungary, and Serbia, of having that societal and economic task. Now, the sources for this: the Germanic Peoples, Their Origins, Expansion, and Culture by Owen, Civilization of the Celts by Launay, Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.